to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Wednesday afternoon, June 29th, the year of our Lord, 2022. Baller show lined up this afternoon. Mike Griffith is on the show from the AJC and Dog Nation. He spoke with Jeremy Pruitt this week. You can go check that out online. I posted a link earlier today on Twitter. And we will break things down with Griff. That's coming up here in about an hour and 15 minutes on the show. Stifling a yawn to begin with. That's never a good sign to start the program. It's stifling a yawn. I was up at 6 a.m. today, so that's like unheard of for me, especially this time of year. So
you're stifling a yawn?
Right, yeah.
I'm getting ready to go on a five-alarm freakout over here.
And this is different from a normal day that ends in why, how?
One side of my headphones is not working. And you know I'm slightly less obsessive than the Rain
Man.
Headphones
not working. Definitely not working. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to be able to persevere through this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to continue to work on it.
This happened to me last week, and like it just sort of, just sort of fixed itself, remedied itself. So maybe that'll happen to you.
I hope so.
Yeah, I was up at a doctor's visit today. Not going to die. It's good news. I got the thing checked that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
We'll start at the end of the story first and just go ahead and get this out of there. Russell's not going to die. Today, anyway. Of skin cancer, anyway. I had a thing on the top of my ear. I was like, what the hell is that? Like,
I take a look at it.
Yeah, and then everybody I asked about it, trying to get them to lower my anxiety, just did the complete opposite. Like, Bear looked at it, he's like, oh, yeah, you got to get that checked. And so I asked my brother, who's a doctor. He's not a dermatologist, but, you know,
he's a doctor.
He went to doctorate school. They cover all that stuff,
he's
right?
He's a smart one in the family.
I don't know. And I asked him, and he was like, I don't know what that is. Yeah, you got to get checked out. So now I'm like freaking out. And, of course, the dermatologist – they're like every other doctor in this country. You make an appointment, they can't see you for 3 months. I'm like, what if it's like metastasizing between now and then? What if it's, you know, something terrible's happened? It's growing. I can't wait 3 months. But what am I going to do? I'm an otherwise healthy 41-year-old man. They're seeing like 90-year-olds and stuff that have like tumors the size of grapefruits growing on their rear ends.
Well, see, what you should have done is you get a referral from your family doctor. It's your family doctor. They can put a rush on that stuff.
Yeah.
It looks suspicious.
Anyway, I get in there, and again, it's so like he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. He looked and was like, oh, yeah, it's nothing. Get out of here. But I had to get up at 6 a.m. for that and $45 copay. But you know what the worst part was, Bear?
What's that?
You know what the worst part was? So I get in there, and the nurse is doing the preamble, you know, they have how doctor's office visit. You go into the room, and the nurse asks you all the questions you already just filled out on the paper.
Yeah,
I'm very familiar with that. And then she leaves, and you sit there for a while. The doctor comes in. She goes. The last thing she says before she leaves and the other doctor comes in is, all right, take everything off except your boxers, and you can put this thing on. They give you like one of those smocks.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is.
Hospital gown.
And first of all, she's assuming an awful lot. She said the word boxer. She was very specific. And as you know, Bear, I don't wear boxers. I'm a briefs man. But I'm sitting here thinking, what if I wasn't? What if I'm just going commando? What if I'm free balling like Tom Petty? I got nothing.
I mean,
the doctor's just going to open the door and walk in there. There's a naked guy just sitting right there waiting on him. What's up, doc? Nice to meet you. Come on in here. Get a load of this. Let's do this.
I mean, I used to, there's a period of time where I never would, you know, that was one of the places where I absolutely would put, you know, throw on some boxers.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about it. I wasn't thinking, oh, I better wear underwear. I always wear underwear, fortunately, but if
I
had
it. Dude, I always take a shower.
It could have been weird.
Where you got to shower up and you got to clean up, man.
Well, yeah.
Put on clean
underwear. I didn't hit the gym before I go into the doctor's office. Yeah, what do you take me for? Some sort of barbarian? Anyway, so I take off my clothes and I go to get this smock. It's not a smock, bro. It's like a folded up. It was folded.
Right.
I open it up and it's like a 3-foot by 4-foot just piece of contact paper. It's like, I'm like, what about, it doesn't even have, there's no like thing to put your head through or wrap around your back. It's just a piece of contact paper.
Yeah, I don't, like, I wait on the doctor to get in there before I, like, when they tell me that, I don't take that as, like, gospel.
Oh.
I'm not stripping down until the doctor gets in there and tells me I need to go ahead and strip down.
Well, I did, because I thought that I'm going to put on this robe and it'll be fine. But, so now I'm sitting there holding this, and I'm like, oh, this is weird. So I'm just sitting there, my underwear. Now it's like, you know, it's 5-10 minutes go by, I start getting cold, so I guess I'll huddle around. I pull this pathetic little piece of contact
paper.
Oh, huddling underneath it. Finally, Doc comes in. But he's not alone. He's got with him
some med students.
He's got like a med student, like this young girl, could have been more than like 22 years old.
Yeah.
She's with him. The nurse who's already been in there is with him. There are three people coming. I'm sitting there in my underwear. I'm like, hey, Doc, there's a couple passersby in the hallway. You want to bring them in here on this? I mean, let's have a party while we're at it. There's a guy in his underwear here, not self-conscious at all.
I don't feel sorry for you, dude.
I know you don't. I wouldn't expect you to. So anyway, I'm sitting there like, all right, here we go. And he says, so you got something on your ear? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, let's look at that first. Looks at it like within a second. Oh, yeah, it's nothing. I'm like, okay, so I can put on my clothes. He's like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and check out the rest of you here. And so I had to sit there where like this guy awkwardly like looks at pretty much my entire body. He's like, yeah, go ahead and stand up. Let's take a look at your backside. And like, I'm not, what do you think? I'm like nude tanning here. Like, Doc, it's okay. You solved the problem for me. You told me what I wanted to hear. Can I get dressed and peace out now? Because feeling much relieved.
Not sure the worst part is after the doctor gets done examining you and then leaves, and then you got to wait for somebody to walk you to the front desk so you can leave. And if you keep me in that room for like a minute, more than a minute or two, I'm going out.
Oh, nobody walked me. They were like, yeah, you're good. You're not going to die. Have a nice day.
You just took off.
And we'll see you.
Like, the they aren't going to remove it?
No.
Now, you know, you got to keep an eye on it now.
He said it's fine. I can't keep an eye on it. It's the whole reason I went is because I literally can't keep an eye on it. It's on the back of my ear.
You need to have your wife keep an eye on it. If they change color, that's bad.
I got the distinct opinion from him that it was a very traditional mole that everybody else has.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to worry about.
But you can't see it. So you need to have somebody look at it occasionally.
Why are you going to try and convince me to worry about something that you realize I saw a doctor today, like a guy who presumably went to college and medical school for this. Like, this is his profession. He literally told me, you're good. Don't worry about it. Why are you trying to tell me, you who aren't a doctor, who could barely perform the mediocre task with which you are charged here competently, and you're going to tell me, you're going to contradict the advice of the trained medical professional I saw earlier today? What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
I'm just telling you.
Telling me what?
I would have
to disregard
what
that guy said and listen to me.
I'm not saying disregard it at all. It's fine, but you always have to keep an eye on moles and stuff like that. If they change color, it's really, really bad.
I had a friend that we were playing basketball, and when he went up for a shot, he dislocated his ankle coming down. And the ambulance driver, he asked him, was like, hey, do you think this is broken? Like, I work where I'm on my feet all the time. Like, this is going to knock me out of work. And he goes, I'm no doctor, but that's broken. Get to the actual doctor's office. She's like, yeah, I don't know why he told you that. It's just dislocated. You're fine. But that kind of gave me a very bare feel. It was just like, oh, yeah, I'm no doctor, but it's broken.
Yeah. Shut up, Marcus.
He has watched every episode of ER multiple times, right? That's your favorite show.
All I'm saying is I've always heard that you always keep an eye on moles, any kind of any kind of things like that on your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You just go ahead and cut it off yourself?
No.
Dr. Bear, you had a keep home laser thing? Just burn it off with a lighter or something?
Yeah. I mean, don't skin off my butt, man. I get to drive when you die anyhow.
No, that's...
It's in the will.
It could literally be skin off your butt. I mean, that's the...
Don't come crying to me when that thing turns red here in a couple of years and you don't know you got melanoma.
Oh, yeah. I did not need to be told that. if it turns red and starts like bleeding or something, trust me, you're the last guy I've come to. Go call the doctor. Be like, dude, WTF, you got to break... Should I get naked again and let you bring the entire staff in to look at me?
I just don't understand why you just didn't be a man. Go ahead and get that thing removed now. Just nick it off there. It only taking a stitch or so.
What do you mean? Be a man. Doctor, it's fine. Okay, so can you go ahead and take it off? No, you don't understand, sir. It's fine. You're perfectly fine. It's a normal mole. Take it off!
Yeah.
I'm a man! Get off that scalpel and do your doctoring.
Put that lidocaine away.
All right.
Did he give you a, what do you call it? What kind of mole is it?
He told me this is a something, 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 something. It was like a big Latin name for it, which I immediately forgot. But, I mean, the casualness with which he described it was very comforting, I got to tell you. It's like, yeah, cool. Right on, Doc. Can I put my pants on now? And then I forgot my phone in there, too. That was the other. Like, I walked out of there, paid the copay on the card, which felt like a complete waste of money. Like, they charge you afterwards. You charge me beforehand so I still don't know, when I'm vaguely concerned that I might have to have, like, that the word biopsy might come into play. I wouldn't have been so concerned about it, but afterwards, like, no, you don't understand. He just told me I'm good. There's no way I should have to pay for this. Yeah, and I walked out and realized, I had my phone until I, like, sheepishly walked back through there, through, like, where all the nurses are. Hey, everybody, you just saw me practically naked. Yeah, I'm back. I just want to make this more awkward for everybody else. I'm going to go in. I left my phone. I'm going to go in here and get that, too. Because I was sitting there looking at my phone in my underwear while I was freezing, waiting for you all to come in and tell me I'm not going to die. That was, get this. And all right, good to see you. Have a nice day. Bye. Oh, man. So that's how my day started. You guys doing good? Everybody doing well?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I knew you were up early. You get up before me, and I wake up and I see a text from you.
Yeah, I might have to send Marcus out for Red Bull and candy. That's usually what.
I'm down.
Guys, this is pretty big. Last time we sent somebody out, it's been years, but Rick Butler failed miserably.
It has been years. It's literally been like a couple of months.
How do you fail miserably?
He didn't get what we asked for.
Oh.
So, see where D. Beckwith has materialized. These guys, they go in the portal. Like, they're a part of your football world for a year or two, and you're like, what is this guy going to have an impact? What's he going to do? We all had high hopes for D. Beckwith. He goes in the portal, and you immediately forget about him. And then they reemerge like 2 or 3 months later, and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. Are we worried about D. Beckwith blossoming into the prospect we once thought he was, the player we once thought he could be at Kentucky?
I mean, not really.
Neither am I.
I mean, he's not starting in front of Rodriguez.
Isn't Rodriguez still suspended, though?
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, he couldn't get reps ahead of Lanith Whitehead and Jalen Wright last year. You know, like Heupel and these guys, they know running backs, right? I mean, I don't know. That was always a weird one because he had a good pedigree. He was Lamonte's cousin, played in a good classification in Alabama, was pretty highly sought after, as I recall, had some other.
Yeah, but he was just physically, he was kind of a tweener position-wise.
I mean, he was huge for a running back, but like nobody ever said this, but the vibe always got was that he's kind of soft. Just wasn't very physical. You think, okay, 6'3", 215-pound running back, this guy should be a bruiser.
I always thought he looked more like a wide receiver, but he'd always played running back, I guess. They tried to move him to wide receiver.
I always thought that he might be able to find a home as a tight end, put on some weight and become a tight end.
Wasn't he also a two-sport thing? Wasn't he part of the basketball team?
No,
as well?
That was actually Lamonte's cousin who he came in with.
This is Lamonte's cousin that we're talking about.
D. Beckwith.
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
Who was the other kid off that team? That was a two-sporter. Malachi Wideman.
Oh, yeah. Where'd he end? Did he go down there with Dion?
Yep.
Like you said, you just forget about them.
Yeah. Malachi Wideman. It's another one.
So Beckwith, D. Beckwith is, that's Lamonte's cousin.
Yes.
Okay.
Looks like Frank Anderson's staying.
Whew.
That's good news. We might have buried the lead there, huh? That was
that's that moment where you realize you've been standing on the edge of a cliff and you had no idea.
Here's my take on that. Yeah, you want – Frank Anderson's a great coach. You want to keep him, obviously. Losing him would be a blow. But that being said, I feel like at this point, Vitello is so established here – and nationally, I mean, he was the ABWCAT head coach of the year yesterday, right, Marcus? What was that?
I don't even remember now to even look it up.
He's won multiple coach of the year. He's the man. Vitello's the man. Everybody knows he's the man. I feel like if his pitching coach job opened, if Frank Anderson said, I'm retiring, which he's going to do soon. I mean, because he's no spring chicken. But when that day comes, I mean, dudes are going to be lining up to be Tony Vitello's pitching coach. Feel like it'll be okay. But this is what happens when you're number one. When you have one of the top programs in the country. Guys trying to raid your staff. I mean, last year they tried to hire Vitello. This year they tried to hire Frank Anderson. Next year they'll try and hire Anderson or Vitello again. I mean, this is just
Erlander.
Something we'll have to deal with. Erlander's getting hired. I mean, he'll be a head coach soon. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't heard more of that buzz already this year with some of those open jobs.
I wonder if as it goes on, as the dominoes fall, eventually it'll get to him.
What is Notre Dame, if they hired a guy? If I were them, I'd call Elander.
It wouldn't be a bad one.
Do you think that Tennessee's burgeoning reputation as the bad boy school, is that does that hurt Elander when it comes to jobs like Notre Dame that are perceived as being a little bit stuffy? And
no. No. I don't think so. I don't think what Frank and Vitello do would turn many places off.
Vandy?
That'd be one of the few.
Duke?
I don't know. Man, Duke likes winning over there, man. They like a winner.
Don't we all?
They don't care to do anything and everything to try and win. They just never seem to be able to do it in football. Is that surprising? As good as and committed as they are to basketball?
That they're never any good in football?
I mean, the best they ever were was probably with Spurrier.
Cutcliffe had him in the ACC championship game a couple of years ago.
Spurrier brought him in here, and they were dog crap and beat Tennessee.
Yeah, but that was the year we started out 0-6.
Hated him that night.
Yeah, I think that it's just hard to win football. I mean, even Stanford, now, they've fallen on hard times all of a sudden. Like, it's just really hard to win at those prestigious academic schools. That's why Brian Kelly went to LSU. Even Notre Dame, for all their success, they, you know, he took them to the playoffs twice, and still having to fight to get guys in school and everything. He's like, oh, I just go to LSU. They'll let anybody in there. Hell, they let Ogeron coach the team. He's borderline illiterate.
Completely insane.
865-546-8200, your number to get on board. 546-8200. If you want to chime in here this afternoon on the program, coming up, Saturdays down south has the SEC coaches power rankings out, a staple of any Southern Sports Radio summer programming. We will do our duty. I think that's actually written in our contract here at Fox Sports Knoxville as a afternoon drive program. It's like you have to devote at least one show in the summer to ranking the SEC football coaches. So we'll do that. Wouldn't want to get fired in late June. We'll do that for you when we continue. Take a quick timeout right here. It is The Drive. Just getting started. Getting fired up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Approaching the bottom of your 3 p.m. hour, Russell, Barron, Marcus back with you. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on Drive this afternoon. Mike Griffith going to join us here in about an hour. We have open lines right now if you want to jump in. While we wait for some phone calls to start rolling in here, let's break down. Matt Hayes of Saturday Down South has the SEC power rankings for every SEC head coach, and there might be a couple of surprises for you in this list. Of course, this time last year, it's interesting, you know, it still had Ed Ogeron, Dan Mullen, and Gus Malzahn in the league. I guess Malzahn was done, but not too long ago, what, 15 months ago, 16 months ago, whatever, like yeah. Those guys were more or less firmly entrenched. But Ogeron, 2 years after winning a national title, like you kind of had the feeling that it could all go horribly wrong with him any minute, but
you always said it would.
He was still there. He was still trucking along, doing his thing, fending off disaster and scandal and mayhem and just doing his thing. Hitting on pregnant booster wives.
The bimbo of the week.
Dan Mullen, yeah, I mean, he was pretty entrenched this time last year. It can get away from you fast. I think we all agree Nick Saban is the best coach in the league. Anybody want to even try to argue against that?
Saban?
No. Bear's trying. He's got nothing.
He wants to.
Matt Hayes would like to argue against that. He's got Kirby Smart number one on the list.
Really?
He is the defending national champion. Last seen shaking Nick Saban's hand as a victor.
No. Saban's the GOAT still, unfortunately.
I'll never refer to him as a GOAT.
How many championships does he have?
How many players did he buy?
Get out of... Bear fired the first salvo of hypocritical fan nonsense today. How many players did he buy? Yes.
He wasn't playing by the same set of rules that everybody else, and now that he is, you see him crying and whining and accusing poor Jimbo Fisher of being a cheater.
He'll be fine.
Did you say poor Jimbo Fisher?
I might have.
He'll be fine. Who's the third best coach behind Kirby? Do you agree that Kirby and Saban are the best too?
Yeah, I mean they're the guys that have won the absolutely.
I mean Kirby has as many championships as Jimbo does. I mean you could say that.
Yeah,
I don't put Jimbo on the same tier as those two.
Who's your third? Who's number three in your power rankings?
Probably Jimbo. just because he does have a ring
on this list. And I feel like Matt Hayes is already going for the shock value here, this one with Kirby number one. He's got Mark Stoops third.
That's the dumbest. Well, I almost said it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The dumbest.
Win 10 games at Kentucky twice in 4 years. Just signed a top 15 recruiting class. Is winning recruiting battles against SEC Blue Bloods and neighboring Ohio State. This is Matt Hayes talking, not me. Says athletic director Mitch Barnhart deserves a ton of credit for not only keeping Stoops at Kentucky, but not panicking after Stoops' first 3 seasons produced only 12 wins. After the 2015 season, Kentucky is 47-29 with a school record 6 straight bowl seasons, and Stoops has 2 of 4 10-win seasons since the school began playing football in 1892. I'll give Stoops a credit. Like, I don't think he's a terrible coach. I think this is massively overrating him. Yes, I understand you grade on a sliding scale because he's at Kentucky. It's a harder job. The expectations are lower. He's done well there, but if he were really that good, if he were really the third best coach in the SEC, don't you think LSU would have tried to hire him last year? Don't you think another college football power would have come and tried to pry him away? And you've never heard anything like that. Like, Florida didn't kick the tires there. LSU, Texas, any of the big-time jobs that have opened up. Florida State, where he was an assistant before he got that job, did not come knocking on Mark Stoops' door. Don't you think there's a reason for that?
I mean, think about it with Franklin when he was at Vanderbilt. Like, the success he had there, as terrible of a program it is, pulled him out to Penn State.
Penn State got him. Tennessee tried to hire him. Yep. Danny White tried to hire him when he first got this job. So, yeah, I mean, I think Stoops has done a fantastic job at Kentucky. He's probably exactly what they needed. He has exceeded their wildest expectations. They're fine as long as Mark Stoops is the head coach at Kentucky. But I don't see – I mean, I might be able to make the argument for him being in the top half of the league. But number three, come on, get out of here. Number four, Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo. The Aggies weren't gutted by COVID last December. They would have played Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl. Is that something to be proud of? I don't know. Jimbo Fisher and his $9.5 million a year salary coming in number four here. Brian Kelly at number five. I mean, he's been to the college football playoff twice at a job that he had to sort of resurrect, was kind of dormant at Notre Dame before he got there. And I would have Brian Kelly number three, just me. He would be my third coach behind – I might even have him number two behind Saban.
Kelly?
Yeah. You guys, this is doing nothing for you guys. You guys are not into this topic at all, are
no,
you?
No, I am.
Coach rankings not doing it for you, Bear?
I mean, this guy to me sounds kind of like a troll. No, I wouldn't have Brian Kelly at number two.
I wouldn't have Brian Kelly at four. I'd put Sam Pittman over Kelly with what he's done at Arkansas already.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Did you get high on the way to work today? What are you talking about?
You guys been to two college football playoffs.
I'm not putting him above. I wouldn't put him in front of the guys that have rings.
He rides on the coattails
of
everyone.
Well, nobody is.
Hey, he rebuilt Notre Dame. Notre Dame was a shambles when they got him up there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm giving the guy his due.
I think he's behind Kirby and Saban, but I would have put him at three and then Fisher at four.
See, he's got Kiffin number six, Pittman number seven. Josh Heupel left to take the Oklahoma job right now. You can only hire Lane Kiffin or Sam Pittman. Who are you hiring?
Pittman.
Really?
I would take Pittman over Kiffin.
I would go Kiffin.
Why not?
I think you have to, like, it's more risky. But, like, Pittman is a high floor, low ceiling guy to me.
Well, he's like Paolo Banchero. Banchero.
Kiffin's high ceiling, low floor, baby.
Kiffin's the kid from Auburn. What's his name? Jabari Smith.
Who is the third overall pick. So
super duper high ceiling, very, very low floor. Boom or bust.
I feel like that would be the Holmgren kid myself, but yes, the point is the same. Mike Leach, 8th. You surprised that we haven't heard from Heupel's name yet?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what, we were top 5 offensively?
Top 10, number 9 in the country. Yep. Shea Beamer is 9th.
That's where I'm going to – that's ridiculous.
And then 10th is Josh Heupel. At least he's ahead – at least our guy's ahead of Napier.
Well, I mean, he beat Beamer head-to-head.
He did.
Housed him.
Did.
Bamboozled him. Had him completely confused, Marcus.
Even made him excited when they finally scored points.
Weirdo. Shane Beamer.
Napier, number 11. Brian Harsin, number 12. You got to be pretty bad to be below Harsin. Drinkwitz and Clark Lee rounding out the power rankings. This, according to Saturday Down South's Matt Hayes. So, this stuff from the Tennessee perspective for Heupel doesn't bother me right now because it's so early. He's such a blank slate at this point. He'll have a chance to climb this list pretty quickly. And I feel like we had the same conversation with the last couple of fellers who coached this football program here in Knoxville is that, hey, if you win the games, you go up those rankings pretty darn quick. And if you don't, then you're rightfully ranked. I mean, I think you could certainly make the argument that he deserves to be ahead of Beamer. Like, does he go ahead of Leach? I would say probably not. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Mike Leach, but he's a young coach. He's 4 years coaching compared to what, a dozen more for Mike Leach? He just hasn't had a chance to really accomplish much yet. I think you could probably have him ahead of Pittman. I could make the argument that he goes ahead of Mark Stoops. But for right now, I don't think Tennessee fans are – rattling their sabers about Josh Heupel being underranked or underrated as an SEC head coach.
You just got to win some more.
Your thoughts, 865-546-8200. You want to jump in here on the program this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to chime in, we'll take a quick break. The Drive continues, back with more right after this.
Welcome back in, everybody. Russ had to step away for just a second. Me and Marcus are going to fill in for him right now. So the coaching rankings, they just – he's a little disappointed.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is like you mentioned, like they're so opinion-based, and this one felt so strange. Like, I don't see how you don't put Saban at number one.
I couldn't tell if he made that list to, like, generate –
Raw clicks up and stuff like that. That's what it felt like. Because to me, I mean, we've all argued
Matt
this.
Hayes knows that Heupel's a better head coach than Shane Beamer. I mean, Shane Beamer's only been – his first year?
Yeah. They head both coach? Had, yeah. Last year was both of their first years, and didn't they have, like,
No, Heupel was Heupel's a head coach.
Oh, you mean, like, first-time head coach ever?
Yeah.
I think so.
So I kind of felt like that was that's why the list was so hard to really get in. I think there were a lot of ulterior motives behind that list.
I could agree, especially when you like I agree with Russell.
Like I've thought about it over the commercial, but there's no point to having Shane Beamer in front of Josh Heupel.
That or
outrage.
That or having Stoops so high.
Well, me Stoops and Marcus have decided we think that guy was just looking for clicks.
Probably. I mean, it's late June. It is list season, as Steve Spurrier liked to say. So, yeah, I could see that.
Ticks, man. We're fired up about it now. It sunk in. Shane Beamer? That goob? You gonna put him above our guy?
I don't get the Shane Beamer love affair. And it's all because he got Spencer Rattler up there. It's not because he did anything.
Who got
on the
beat out at Oklahoma?
Yeah. And I don't know what to make there, man. Like, I think South Carolina could be pretty good, but it's all maybe. It's all maybe stuff, right? And I think Beamer probably gets a lot of attention and wins brownie points with the media because he's super nice guy. He's very personable, right?
Right.
We had Topmeyer on last week, and he talked about, you know, you go in his office and he'll pat you on the back. He's one of those guys that make you feel like you've known him forever, like he's your best buddy from way back in the day. And Heupel, like, he's not standoffish. He's not a jerk or anything, but he's not that guy.
No.
Heupel's about his business and all that stuff. Beamer is more of a salesman. He's more of a program promoter. And
does he got a little bit of pearl in him, that kind of guy?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that, you know, they got shut out by Clemson last year, 30-0. They lost at Missouri.
Oh, and they could have lost. What was that game that had that crazy, crazy ending where they probably should have lost it?
Barely beat Auburn.
Barely beat Vanderbilt.
Beat Vanderbilt by one. Got destroyed by Tennessee.
What was their out of conference? It was an out of conference game.
Oh, East Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were lucky to win that one on a last second field goal. But the narrative around them was they turned it around the last half of the season and came around. And I'm just looking at their last half of the season. After us, they beat Vanderbilt by one, lost at A&M in a blowout. They did beat Florida 40-17. I remember that.
Florida was broken.
That game,
by
yeah, that was kind of like the nail in the coffin for Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Then they lose at Missouri, who was terrible. They beat Auburn, who was terrible and dysfunctional and falling apart, by 4 points at home, 21-17. It's a good win, fine. They lose to Clemson 30-0. It's your in-state rival. Like, you can't score on them? Okay, you don't have a quarterback. Is Spencer Rattler going to fix all that? I don't know. Maybe he will. You beat North Carolina in a bowl game 38-21, and then you get Spencer Rattler, and everybody's just – I think everybody. I mean, I think that the predictions for them, like I'm looking at Athlon right now, projected record 6-6, 3-5 in the SEC. I'm assuming one of those is a loss to Tennessee and fifth in the East. It's not exactly a big leap forward.
No.
I just think Beamer is Mr. Nice Guy, and the media likes him and is kind of pulling for him.
I would agree. That and his name. That's Frank Beamer's boy. Beamers it's a pretty big name in college football.
Brian says Shane Beamer falls into yesterday's conversation. Don't hire coaches' sons. Oh, Shane Beamer is totally the kind of guy Tennessee would have hired with a more inept athletics director in coaching searches of yore.
Oh, like Dave Hart or Mike Hamilton level of stupidity?
I mean, at least for South Carolina, A, they're South Carolina, and the ceiling isn't high for them as a program, but B, he coached there, right? I mean, he has some tie to the program. I guess he did coach here too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a GA under Fulmer back in the day.
Yeah.
Was he a position coach here? Or just
No, you're right. He was GA from 2001 to 2003. He's also from South Carolina too.
Is he?
Yeah, born in Charleston.
How about that?
Low country.
But that's when, he went to school in Virginia because that's when his dad was coaching Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rattler is an interesting story. He's definitely a talent upgrade for them, but he's not going to be playing in Oklahoma's offense. He's not going to have Oklahoma wide receivers, Oklahoma running backs, and an Oklahoma offensive line in front of him. It's going to be a little bit harder to move the ball. He's against not, SEC defenses.
Yeah, he's not playing Big 12 defenses anymore.
I mean, hey, maybe he comes in there and sets the world on fire.
He very well could, but I don't know. defense has played at a different level in the SEC in the speed.
They open up against Georgia State at home.
Oh.
Ask Jeremy Pruitt what it's like to open your second season in the SEC as a head coach at home against Georgia State.
I mean, the other thing about South Carolina, I saw their boards were tore up towards the end of baseball season. Did they hire their baseball coach the same time we hired, same cycle we hired Vitello?
I think so. I'm not sure. New football coach, new basketball coach. Who is their baseball coach? Like, I don't even know who their baseball coach is.
I don't know now. All I know is their message board seems to think that they got cosmically screwed out of, or they made a huge mistake by not snatching up Vitello.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, nobody really knew that Vitello was going to do
this.
No,
we struck gold. We hit the absolute lottery. We won roulette with Vitello. Nobody, he would tell you that. Like, nobody knew. Well, he probably so confident that he knew he was going to be the man. But all assistant coaches think that when they get their first head coaching jobs. We didn't know. Nobody knew. We were due, man. We were due. We'd struck out enough in all these sports. We'd struck off. I mean, we were Todd Raleigh and Dave Seronico.
I mean, Seronico went to, he had a World Series.
It's just, it's cool when you hit the unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, right?
This, Pearl.
Pearl was one. It's easy to look back on it and like, oh yeah, you knew that guy was going to be good. He went to the went to the NCAA tournament with Wisconsin Milwaukee. It's like, yeah, at the time, we liked him, thought it might work, could work. Maybe this could be the guy. We didn't know it was going to be the way it was. And I mean, at least with him, like, the NCAA tournament was watched enough that we knew who he was and kind of the way he played. It's like, okay, I kind of see that. With Vitello, like, nobody had heard of him. Like, you didn't even know who
the hell is he?
Like, he's an assistant at Arkansas. Okay.
I mean, I think people in the know knew he was, you know, one of the best recruiters.
It just goes to show, though, like, you never know till you know. You know?
Like, what did he say he was doing when he got the call from us?
Was he watching Tombstone or something?
And watching Tombstone eating tacos and was pissed over Arkansas getting knocked out of the postseason.
I guess part of me wants to say there's lessons to be learned there as far as, you know, football, when you're trying to hire a head coach, maybe not to be so quick to judge or demanding or something like that. But that sport's probably a little bit different just because of the spotlight on it. And maybe we're getting there in baseball too, because I mean, in a world where there's a bidding war breaking out over your 60-year-old pitching coach, then maybe that's what's about to happen in that sport too.
Who did get suspended twice this season?
Hothead Frank Anderson.
He's my spirit animal, Russ. I love that old man. He's got a high motor, doesn't he?
Well, he's going to have to put a governor on that thing or something next year. We need those guys in the dugout. Saw where LSU, they're going to the baseball makeover this year. They hired the Twins pitching coach.
Yeah. It's number one. Twins are number one right now.
Got Tommy Tanks.
They also got somebody else this morning.
Shortstop from Vanderbilt.
They picked up another, like, big-time mercenary.
I know Tennessee will be probably playing down there next year since we did not play them this year and played them at home the previous year. I believe that's the way that works, is that Tennessee is due a trip to Baton Rouge next season. That could be a heated weekend at Alex Box Stadium. A couple of top five teams going at it.
Oh, yeah.
College baseball.
I mean, they're soft. They're still soft as Charmin, LSU baseball program. They were nasty people.
I mean,
they were just nasty, Russell.
That guy's gone. They got a new head coach. You got a guy from Arizona who was in the College World Series the same year we were last season. So
I ain't scared.
I'm not scared either, but maybe they have a little bit new mentality. It's good, man. We need to be challenged in this league a little bit more. It might help us come nut-cutting time. I think there's an argument to be made that Tennessee wasn't challenged or pushed enough during the regular season this year, and that ended up costing them when it did get down to crunch time against Notre Dame.
Did you worry about that during the season? I feel like we talked about it.
I feel like we did too, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, I wish that been pushed a little bit more. I almost wish we'd lost in the SEC tournament, man. Maybe that would have whet the appetite a little bit more, make you a little hungry.
I don't think Ole Miss won, did they? Did they win a game?
No, I know Mississippi State didn't the year before. We skunked them, man. Remember we run-ruled them?
Yeah.
Maybe winning the SEC tournament isn't all it's cracked up to be in basketball or baseball.
Well, we can mark it off our list. We don't have to. It's not something that we have to get all worked up over for a while.
Yeah. If we'd be a little bit more measured about it when that particular event rolls around next year.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Well, we got basketball. I mean, you want to rip this one back open? We got screwed. We really did.
Can only play the team that's put in front of you.
I mean, I feel you, Russ, but damn.
I'd do Rick Barnes like that, man. You didn't have to do him like that, NCAA committee. They were wrong for that. Marcus is in. He's got your top four at four. He's chomping at the bit, ready to go. Going to get you updated when we continue. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.